This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome in on a Tuesday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. I've got the frog out of my throat that happened to have, lodged itself in there about 5 a.m. this morning. It sounds much better now. Kim St. Ange has the day off. She will be back with us tomorrow morning. Carl Middleman in here with me this morning. Hey there. And we got Ethan and Sue Thomas along in a few minutes with the check your traffic, see if there's any problems out there. Maybe some sunshine slowdowns. It is shaping up to be another beautiful day. Maybe not quite as warm as yesterday, but wow, let's enjoy it while we can. Hopefully Kim is outside enjoying it today for sure. Just a quick reminder, if you go to the website 971talk.com, you can click on the contests and you can submit a nomination for your favorite first responder. We try to make it easy. You know a police officer or a firefighter or an EMS worker or a dispatcher who works really hard, or they've done some outstanding work for you personally, and you'd like to see them and their crew get fed. Grillmaster Tony cooks the food. Love Grillmaster Tony. You can go to his website at grillmastertony.com and find out more. But he always prepares a great feast for them, and then I will take it out. Sometimes Tony goes along with me, and we personally deliver it to the first responder organization. We pick a new winner each month, so get your nominations in today at 971talk.com/contest. We'll try to get that. We want to get as many nominations as we can so we have a good selection to choose from. All right, coming up, Senator Adam Schnelting joins me in the next segment to talk more about at least one thing we've discussed already this morning, and that is this Roundup bill that's making its way through. It made it through the House. It's now going to go to the Senate, where some folks are promising a filibuster. We'll find out more on that. We'll find out about how that might affect state control of the St. Louis Police Department. And, of course, we will talk to Senator Schnelting about his bathroom bill. He's probably not calling it a bathroom bill, but it would assign a gender to the bathrooms. If you're biological males, biological females. And it would end this debate that local school districts are dealing with people threatening to sue them if they keep boys from using girls' bathrooms. It's the silliest argument I've ever heard. But anyway, Adam Schnelting has a bill that would affect that, and we're hoping that has some hope of getting through this year. We'll talk to him coming up. Ryan Wiggins at the bottom of the hour, but Carl, first we're going to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He's not cutting enough. We should cut more, 20% more. It's all fat. It's waste. There's so much waste in federal government.
Kevin O'Leary there, of course, a big fan of Donald Trump and what he's doing with Doge. He doesn't think the cuts go quite far enough.
My show had value. And in the end, I'm sorry, I try not to cry on TV. And I said, this is kind of like me on TV, so I apologize.
There's no joy in Whoville at MSNBC, where Joy Reid is out. And she was yesterday not apologizing for anything she said, which probably ultimately led to her ratings decline and losing her job.
You want the government to ban gender-affirming care for kids?
You want to lose every election? Just keep coming down on the side of parents coming in second in a who gets to decide what goes on with kid contest.
Yeah, Bill Maher kind of having it out there with the Pod Save America host there, who's all in on the transgender movement. And Maher, who's a pretty big liberal, has said, hey, wait a minute, if you keep doing this, we're going to lose every election.
Job is a lot harder than people think. The mayor is not responsible for everything. You know, we have a tripartite form of government, which means that all money spent have to be approved by myself, the comptroller, and the president of the Board of Aldermen.
Yep, that is Mayor Jones on yesterday down the hall here to KMOX. She's not been on this radio station in as long as I can remember. I don't know if she doesn't like the fact that we might ask her hard questions, but she will not join us here. So we picked up this audio from our friends down the hall there at KMOX from her interview yesterday. And that bite right there, I'd say, pretty much sums it up. She is not going to take responsibility for anything that's happened in the city of St. Louis that she perceives as bad. She ultimately gave the politician answer there, and she says, this is a hard job. That's not my fault. Stop blaming me. And this was one of my favorites.
Tell me what you've learned from your first term in office.
If I've learned anything in my first term in office is that people who haven't run anything think they can change everything.
That's a little too close to a Kamala cackle for me. I'll just have to admit that. She doesn't like the criticism. She probably doesn't like the poll showing at least Kara Spencer beating her in the last poll I saw. I think it was a Channel 5 poll. And remember, this is basically ranked choice voting in the city of St. Louis. You can cast a vote for all four candidates. And then the one, the top two vote getters move on to the second round, and then they reassign votes from the other two that were their second or third choices. It is a convoluted mess. If you want to help mess it up a little more, vote for anybody but Tashara, and then that should make it really interesting on Election Day, which is April 8th, by the way, in case you're wondering.
You can vote now, though.
We mentioned this earlier. Absentee voting starts today. I know in St. Louis County, you can apply for an absentee ballot. And in-person absentee voting doesn't happen until the end of March, like the 25th.
In-person voting at satellite locations started last week.
They're already in-person voting in the city. I did not know that. That's not a surprise. What happened to voting day?
That's coming up.
Oh, I see. That doesn't really matter anymore what day it is. They don't even have to have the votes counted by April 8th. But that's when the election is, so just so you know. All right, coming up, Senator Adam Schnelting, who just got elected to the Missouri Senate. We're going to talk to him about a number of issues that are floating around up there, what the odds are of them actually making it through during this session when we come back. Stay tuned.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Yeah, that's the spot that is running, the commercial spot that's running on this radio station and TV stations and billboards all over the place. What they're talking about is Roundup. And the bill that passed the House would effectively, in my opinion, grant immunity to Bayer and others so that people who believe they got ill as a result of the pesticide would not be able to sue in the state of Missouri. That's going to be considered now by the Missouri Senate at some point. It's going to make its way over there. We've got Missouri Senator Adam Schnelting on the phone right now. And Adam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be with you again, Mark.
Yeah, I wondered your thoughts on this particular bill. I understand that Nick Schroer is opposed to it, I know. Where do you stand on this Roundup bill?
Well, I oppose it, Mark, for several reasons. But these bills essentially provide, as you stated, it provides blanket immunity for the makers of certain pesticides and herbicides, glyphosate. Herbicides that have been, linked to health problems. Here's part of the problem for me specifically. The bills also cede state sovereignty over to the EPA because we're essentially, if we pass the bill, we're relinquishing our labeling requirements, standards to the whatever the EPA requirements are at that time. So instead of Missouri setting the standard, we're going to rely on the EPA. So that's not really a conservative position. Ceding state sovereignty to the EPA is bad for our residents' health. And remember, Mark, that the EPA focuses primarily on ecological and environmental impact. They are the Environmental Protection Agency, right? They're not a human health agency. So if there's one thing that we learned during the COVID era, it's not to trust in Fauci-like bureaucrats and agencies like the EPA.
Right. Well, will you be part of the 9 senators that I understand are ready to stand up and filibuster this?
I am. At noon today, we're going to be holding a press conference to that effect, discussing the dangers of these bills and the fact that we oppose corporate blanket immunity for corporations.
So yes. So who's supporting it in the Senate, if you can name names? I mean, I'm interested to know that. If it's something Cindy O'Loughlin and leadership are in favor of, and you guys are threatening to filibuster it, I mean, it can really snarl things up there in the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, so as far as Senate leadership is concerned, I've yet to hear them discuss that as one of their priorities. Obviously there is a Senate bill. Senator Justin Brown out of Central Missouri has filed, but I have not heard this issue being a number one or even in the top 10 priorities of Senate leadership. So I think at the end of the day, we're going to have a strong showing from. You've got 9 senators out of 24. Republican senators who are already willing to stand up and say, no blanket immunity for corporations. We're not doing this.
Good.
And I think that sends a great signal from the outset.
Yeah, it's a good point. Maybe before it even gets to that, that kind of heads them off a little bit. We're talking to Senator Adam Schnelting. So my follow-up question to that is, if it ends up in a filibuster situation, what happens to some of the other priorities of the Senate, like state control of the St. Louis Police Department, because that seems to be something everybody seems to be on board with in Jeff City, right? Even the governor.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah. So sometimes during a filibuster, at some point, you when leadership realizes, okay, this filibuster is not going to break, they set the bill aside to allow other bills to be debated and discussed. At some point, I would foresee that happening in this situation. And we are dead set on passing the crime bill to ensure that we deal with public safety in the state of Missouri, specifically particularly the region of St. Louis. So I don't think that in any way this is going to harm our prospects of getting that passed this session.
Good.
I believe we're going to be able to get that done.
Yeah, it's definitely critical and a big issue in the mayor's race down here as well in the city that's going to happen in April for sure. Senator Adam Schelting, our guest right now, you made the Post-Dispatch. That's probably a badge of honor for any conservative. You made the front page of the Post there with your bill regarding assigning gender at birth to bathrooms in schools, correct? Am I misphrasing that?
No, look, it's all right. However you say it. By the way, I do call it the bathroom bill.
Okay, all right. I wondered. I didn't know.
No, I do. You know, after so many years down here, you start forgetting your bill numbers. It's bill 77, bill 76. I just call it the bathroom bill. Yeah, no, essentially what we're looking at, Mark, so the Missouri Human Rights Statute needs to be updated or clarified to be more specific. The Missouri Human Rights Statute states that you cannot discriminate based on sex. Well, when our forebears put sex in that discrimination, in that category, in that statute, they were not talking about sexual orientation or gender identity. However, the courts have recently interpreted sex to include gender identity. And so what you have is in RMA versus Blue Screen School District, the court sided with a transgender student suing the district over their single sex bathroom policy. And they awarded that student nearly $5 million. And so the state Supreme Court issued an opinion in which they essentially redefined sex to include gender identity, which obviously strays from the traditional interpretation of sex and also the intentions of the legislature when we passed the Missouri Human Rights Act decades ago. So what this bill does is it clarifies that sex in our discrimination statutes is biological sex and not gender identity.
Okay.
That way our public schools can go ahead and pass single-sex use bathroom policies and not have to be concerned about crushing lawsuits.
I love that. So what is that? Does the court have to go back and look at its ruling again if the human rights wording is changed?
Well, if they have another court case, they would be able to look at
going
the statute.
Forward. Okay.
Going forward. Exactly. That's
yeah.
Exactly right. Which is really important. You know, right now, we've all kind of, you know, with the election of President Trump, we've kind of taken a reprieve. Oh, this is great. You know, executive orders. But here's the problem. Executive orders change from one president to another.
Very true.
So while we have an opportunity, Missouri needs to make sure we clarify any ambiguity in law and that we take care of situations like this.
Right, right. You know, I've only got about a minute left. I've run out of time here, but Senate Bill 4, I understand, got voted on yesterday, and that's created some controversy. Any idea why people are so upset about that passing in the Senate? Is it related to utilities?
So there's a lot of mischaracterization and misrepresentation, and some of that is coming from the green energy sector, actually. Senate substitute for Senate Bill 4 doesn't have everything, you know, there's not everything in that bill that I liked. But at the same time, one of the things that the president has talked about since he got elected was the fact that our energy and our grid is susceptible to foreign attack. We need to have upgrades and we need to make sure that we're investing in our infrastructure. Otherwise, we're going to have problems down the road. And look, if our demand is becoming greater than our supply, we're getting to a point where if we don't work on supply, prices are going to skyrocket no matter what we do. So we need to have greater generation. And that's what Senate Bill 4 seeks to do.
And it deals with solar panels. And what would it do with that exactly?
Well, so
it would make it personal property.
Well, actually, that portion, I believe, was stripped out of the substitute. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of convoluted when you have omnibus bills, which is usually I really don't like omnibus bills because you have a lot of things going on. But that portion, I believe, was nixed.
There's a lot in there for sure. We'll address it some more. Senator Adam Schelting, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
Absolutely, we'll talk to you soon, Adam. Thank you. All right, we're back with Wiggins America right after this. Stay tuned.
You look at the spreadsheet, you say, okay, this is the original cut idea. You cut 20% more because it really hurts when you cut. You cut deep, you cut fast, you chop, you hack. And then you hire back because you don't want the trauma to everybody multiple times. I don't think he's doing enough. He's not cutting enough.
We should cut more, 20% more. It's all fat. It's waste. There's so much waste in federal government. This is great for the American people.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
All right, we've got Ryan in studio with us right now. That was Kevin O'Leary there talking about the fact that while everybody else is, moaning about all these cuts to DOGE and there may be cuts locally, the local media says to the NGA and other places, Kevin O'Leary says, we need to cut more. I mean, I don't know about you, Wiggins, I think this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to cut waste out of the federal government. And if they don't do it now and quickly, the bureaucracy is going to gather its forces and stop them.
I think we need to keep saying $36 trillion in debt.
Yes.
$36 trillion, because we're going to see a lot of human interest stories from the left, the media. And it doesn't mean that all of those stories are false. People are going to lose their jobs. But when we see those stories, just say to yourself, $36 trillion in debt. And you will remember, oh yeah, we have to do this. We don't have a choice. This is probably the least painful option of the options that we have in front of us, is doing it this way.
It's true. No, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And for most people, maybe that doesn't really get the message across. This always gets the message across.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Just look at this as salve for those sore, chapped nipples, right?
Yes.
Basically.
Well, this is the chapping.
this is a different kind of chapping.
You're right.
Yeah. You're getting the greedy piglets off of your nipples.
That's
but
right.
Then they have to recover.
This is the
right.
Salve.
Thank you.
It's funny because I can't ever see Ron Swanson without thinking of you now.
Thank you.
Because I hear that bit. I hear that clip.
It's my favorite drop from Ron Swanson.
Yeah. So, you want to hear about a little more waste, Mark?
I can't. You've made a big claim when you walked in the studio earlier, and I told Ryan, I'm like, save it for air, because I don't believe it. But go ahead, please.
Yeah, so within the last couple weeks, you know, I've come on your show and on my own show, and probably Annie's too, talked about the different ways that the government was buying off the media. And some of them were big. Some of them were actually pretty little. Some of them were over-reported because, you know, it wasn't quite as true as people saying, oh, $50 million went to New York Times. That wasn't quite true. But the $8 million to Politico, that was true. And that was one of the bigger ones that, you know, you're funneling $8 million to Politico through these weird subscriptions that they made.
$30,000 subscription.
Just for the government. You know, nobody else is subscribing at that level, but the government has thousands of subscriptions.
Could you imagine going to Steve Moore down the hallway and saying, hey, we need something, we need to access this information. The subscription's only, I mean, if I said $2,000, he'd lose his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone 30.
If we went down the hall and said, can we get a subscription to Politico Pro? It's only $44,000. And they might actually cut it down to $10,000 for us because we're non-government.
Yes.
He would say no. I think, though, he would say no if we said it's $8.
But that's potential. That's true. It is radio.
But this sort of dwarfs it all. This one's way bigger than $8 million. Mark, you ready for this?
Yes.
The Internews Media Cartel is the name of it, according to the article from the American Thinker here that I'm pulling this from. Thousands, if an obscure nonprofit, which is what this Internews Media is, received hundreds of millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars, trained thousands of journalists, and influenced media outlets worldwide. And that's the purpose of it. That it says our purpose is to train journalists and influence media outlets worldwide. You'd be a little bit suspicious of that, wouldn't
you? Well, just the name. When I hear the word cartel, I think of a house full of people running drugs somewhere on the Mexican border.
Well,
right?
It's just called Internews. The article is saying this is a cartel.
Oh, they described it as a cartel.
So it's called Internews Media. It's intentionally vague. I mean, what is Internews? It's intended to just be something you look at and go, I don't even know what that is.
Internet news, right? Internews, is that
so, it? Yeah. So you look at that and you go, man, if millions of taxpayer dollars are being funneled to this thing, you'd go, what is the purpose of this thing? Well, here's the story with Internews. Over 95% of Internews' revenue comes from U.S. government funding, primarily through USAID. That amounts to $92 million. Politico is getting $8 million. $92 million to this organization to influence news and train journalists. Okay, so what's their point?
Where?
Well, everywhere. Everywhere. They touch everything, apparently. But this says that their CEOs were all making in the six figures at least. And here's where it gets really weird. Their Form 990 confirms that Internews operates at least one subsidiary and maybe multiples in the Cayman Islands, so that you can't track where their money goes. And their express purpose is not just training journalists. That would be weird if you were spending $92 million a year of government money just to train and influence media. But it says their expenditures include policy influence spending. So when you start to look into what policies are you trying to influence here with your $92 million of taxpayer money?
Lobbyists.
That's one. Gender and sexual minorities programs. All of this stuff, by the way, from their website has now been scrubbed from their website. So super suspicious. They were partners with the Clinton Global Initiative Partnership.
Imagine that.
All of this, though, has been removed now from their website, and they're trying to make sure that you can't find any of it. So to find these partnerships, you have to go to the Clinton website, or you have to go to the partnerships that they had and then look them up, because you can't find it on their website anymore. So where was this $92 million going? Well, we know some of it was in the Cayman Islands, and then you can't really track it.
Is it over now?
I mean, is it
one of those programs that got canceled?
I would think that this has been addressed now because they've cut so much from USAID.
Right.
But I haven't specifically seen that they canceled this contract. But they've cut so much from USAID that I would hope that this has been a part of that.
Yeah.
But isn't that wild? So what exactly were they doing? Well, that's the big question.
Trying to influence content.
Content
in America,
influence journalists,
yes.
Influence content in, I'm sure, in America, but also throughout the world. For the, it sounds like super far left causes. Now, I just present to you, if you're on the left and you heard me saying this, or you heard NPR saying the exact same thing, and it was about the NRA or it was about whatever, wouldn't you say, that's a problem. That's my tax money being used to push causes through the media.
They'd lose their minds.
They would lose
their minds.
And justifiably, you should lose your mind about that, because this is partisan stuff, and it's very, very covert. So they're not being open about whatever they're doing also. So all of this, and this is a drop in the bucket of the amount of money, but just compared, you know, we all flipped out when we saw the Politico thing, as we should have. And then you see this and you go, this is like eight times as much.
And the people they've trained and provided training for could be in the hundreds, and they've been dispersed to newsrooms all over the country.
Well, do you think really that they're training journalists, or do you think that they might just be paying journalists? I mean, I don't know, because this is where...
Or indoctrinating journalists in how to subvert information.
Like, where is this quote-unquote journalist training program? I thought that was called college. You know, what do you mean you're training journalists? I think you're probably buying them.
You're training them to get your point of view across in all these different newsrooms.
Exactly.
I'd love to know if most of them include that on their resume.
I don't think they do.
probably not a resume enhancer.
I don't think the people working at Internews would include Internews on their resume at this point.
Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America, please.
Saturday morning, 7 to 8. Sunday night, 7 to 8.
Yeah, don't miss it. Because for all you know, this segment might end up on there. I think it's fantastic. You have really good taste.
Well, thank you very
much. Can you hang out with us?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to be back in just a minute.
The race lady. Why would they call me that? Is this really about me fixating on race? Or is it about you fixating on race?
But Donald Trump wants to never let black and brown folk up off the mat. It's evident what they mean by DEI, right?
Why not just say what you mean?
You can't stand black people. We get it. You've been heard.
Are you committed to naming a black woman as your vice presidential running mate?
They wanted to go after the brown people, too, because, of course, that is their other target.
You feel joy? Say joy.
It's not fashionable to be openly racist anymore in America, unlike what they call the good old days. Only the white Christian men may have the things. So you own everything that happens to your mixed status families. And to your wives, sisters, and abuelas.
Joy.
If you are black plus anything else, you are black. Violent white nationalism that today threatens our national security.
Yeah, a little montage for you of the recently departed Joy Reid from MSNBC, who clearly, as I listen to that, still doesn't understand in her parting comments why her show sucked so much.
I don't know about you, but I just feel like she talked about race too much.
All the... You think? Like every show?
Hey, you!
She went on yesterday when she was talking about why she was leaving Carl, and she said it again. I'm trying to... Which one is it? That is the... that's cut number 7, please. Listen.
Spending books that people find inconvenient, you know, that Nicole Hannah Jones put into our spirit that we need to understand 1619 as the real founding of this country, whether it's talking about any of these issues, and yes, whether it's talking about Gaza and the fact that we as the American people have a right to object, to have a right to object to little babies being bombed. And where I come down on that is I'm not sorry. I am not sorry that I stood up for those things.
I just wanted to play that again so that you heard that loud and clear. She's worried about some kids dying in Gaza, but she doesn't care about the babies that were put into ovens on October 7th by Hamas terrorists. She supports the 1619 Project. I mean, all of these really radical left-wing fake stories about the whole reason the United States was founded was to support slavery. That's it. That we wanted to make sure that we could keep slavery here, and that's why we wrote a constitution. You know, I it's the silliest thing ever, and no historians believe that. But this is the kind of garbage that night after night after night she kept pitching, even as the American people were rejecting it. I mean, her hatred of Donald Trump just was so obvious. Look, Rachel Maddow came out yesterday, and of course, she's very sad that Joy Reid got fired. Listen.
I am 51 years old. I have been gainfully employed since I was 12. And I have had so many different kinds of jobs, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But in all of the jobs I have had, in all of the years I have been alive, there is no colleague for whom I have had more affection and more respect than Joy Reid.
Yeah, there you have it.
Well, Joy Reid, didn't she do like a little podcast or something where she, you know, she was crying? It kind of went viral.
Yeah, I got that one too.
She was saying, but there's, you know, there's so much value in my show. And I actually agree with her in a sense. And I'm not trying to be funny here. It's not in the sense that she thinks it is. But there is value in seeing through a prism that a lot of Americans, and this isn't the highest percentage, but maybe 20, 25% of Americans, these are your neighbors. They see the world through the lens of only class warfare, race warfare, and they take in the entire world through that. And so she is actually a pretty good mouthpiece for that, because you can see, I mean, her arguments fall apart really quickly, but she does look through the entire world through that prism that a lot of Americans do right now. And while they're in the minority, you know, it's important to kind of understand how they see things so that you can have those conversations, which we have daily,
right?
You know, about these kind of things.
Right.
But, you know, it's also just conversations you have in regular life with maybe family members or whoever, and you can see how, unfortunately, how frail that worldview is, because it falls apart so quickly under the guise of love. That's what's so sad about it.
It's true. It's a point well made there. Ryan Wiggins, thank you for hanging out, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Always great having you on every Tuesday morning, for sure. All right, coming up, we are going to go to the Brian Kilmeade Show. He's going to be coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Brian, I'm sure, has covered the latest on what's going on up there in D.C. and the legal challenges to Trump's EOs. And we've still got a few more nomination hearings to go. The IRS, a few other big ones are going to be heard here soon. We'll get the latest from him. Of course, you can hear Ryan a little later today on the Annie Fry Show from noon to 3. And then Reardon is in here this afternoon. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you back here. Kim St. Ange returns tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. We'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.